chapter 1. If you'd stand with us this morning, we'll honor the preaching of the Word of God found over in the book of Exodus, chapter number 1. If you love the Lord, say amen.
Amen.
The Bible said in verse number 1, "Now these are the names of the children of Israel which came into Egypt. Every man and his household came with Jacob, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin, Dan and Naphtali, Gad and Asher." I'm going to pull a Mark Cooper on you right there in verse 4, "this and in that," and amen. "And all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls. For Joseph was in Egypt already." Verse 6 I'd like to preach out of this morning. "And Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation." Thank you for standing this morning. Father, if it's ever been a morning that I need help of preaching, I need your help this morning. I pray, O Lord, you'd let me be a blessing to your people. I pray you'd fill me with your Spirit and your power. God, without you, I'm nothing. And I know unless you come on the preaching this morning, it'd just be an outline. But God, would you stir our hearts today? I ask you, would you touch me now? Open the ears and the hearts of your people. Do a work this morning that only you can do. And we'll be grateful and honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. I want to preach out of verse number 6 where the Bible said, "And Joseph died, all his brethren, and all that generation." And I want to preach on this simple topic on a generation past. A generation passed. The Bible said Joseph died and all his brethren and all that generation. I got to thinking about that when I read it yesterday morning and it began to stand out on me. And I got to thinking, first of all, there are the facts of a generation past. Do you ever go back and think about the generation that we sat under and learned so many things, the generation of our forefathers, the generation maybe of the farmers in this country, man? Whatever happened to farming? Amen. A generation of time seemed like that the simple things have left, and now we live in a complicated world and a complicated system. But I began to think about this generation, and I got to thinking of the facts of a generation past. I'm glad that I was raised out in the country. I have no apology about that. It don't take you long to stay around me to realize I are a country boy. Amen. And I'm glad that God loves country boys. Amen. I'm glad He loves country folk. Hallelujah. I'm glad you ain't got to be in a big city to be loved by God. You say, "Where in the world's Bowden, Georgia, honey?" God knows right where it is. Because He saved me in that little old town one day and called me to preach. And I'm pastoring one of the best churches in America in Bowden, Georgia. Well, glory, I'm glad that there is the facts of a generation past. I got to thinking about what I've learned from a generation that's past. And boy, there are some facts. I want to say, first of all, we see the facts of death. The Bible said that they all die. You know, time's no respecter of persons, is it? Have you ever seen anybody die and you wish you had them around to be able to sit down and talk to? Have you ever wished that somebody passed across and you wish you could have sat down and say, "How did you do that? How did you accomplish that?" There was a man in Tennessee the other day where I was preaching. He said, "Preacher, I want to take you, I know that you like old things, and I want to show you a barn that you won't believe." And they took me out to a farm. And there was logs, I'm not exaggerating, nearly long as from that light to that corner. They were hand-hewn. They was about this tall and probably this thick. And they were cut out of the trees of that country that no longer grow there. But what amazed me is how high they stacked those beams to make that barn. I mean, a time of just simple living. I looked out at that old farmhouse, and there was a stacked rock fireplace. And my goodness, you didn't have to look far, and you found an old hand-dug well. Amen. You know, a man had been crazy to try to raise a family without a hand-dug well. Man had been crazy to try to set up housekeeping without a well. But it's no crazier than what we are this morning trying to raise children and families without the well of the Word of God. It's no different, people trying to set up housekeeping without water to nourish them and wash them and to bring them life in these days. And I look at a generation past and just really how much wisdom and brilliance that God gave them. You'd never see a home place in days gone by that didn't have a well. But yet, Americans this morning, multitudes upon multitudes are raising a family without running water. You'll get that in a minute. He said it'd be water springing up to life everlasting. My goodness, these old-timers amaze me. I think about a generation past. They done things that our generation knows a little bit about. I mean, whatever happened to old-timey lard biscuits? Whatever happened to a woman that knowed how to reach in a bucket of lard on the floor? Amen? Now, I got on that dog bowl last time I preached. I won't go there this morning, But I mean, my mama had a hog killing lard bucket, and she'd reach in and she'd put that thing on the cabinet. She'd mix it in a bowl and she'd dump it out on the bowl. She'd roll stuff out. And ladies, she'd cut something out called a biscuit. My goodness, she'd put that thing in the oven, honey, and you put you some of that good old-time syrup and butter. And you'd take up butter, and by the way, it was butter then. It wasn't margarine. And you'd cut it off and put it in a bowl and turn that syrup over, them molasses or sorghum, and you'd stir that till it turned milky white. Can I get a witness this morning? And then, praise God, you'd reach on the table and you'd get one of them biscuits, and we'd take a fork and we'd get in that and we'd put it on there, and you'd take a bite and you just want to shout for the glory of God. And then we had something called sopping that people don't know nothing about. You think it's bad etiquette, you know, if you go in a restaurant and it's so good, you get your roll and you sop out the last bit of it. Honey, it ain't poor etiquette. It's just remembering about a generation that's died and gone on. I'm glad I know a little bit about sopping biscuits. And I'm glad I know a little bit about the Word of God and the house of God and the family of God. Oh my, the generation of a time gone by. Oh, there are the facts of a generation past. There is the facts of death. They all die. You know something? We all going to die. You know why I'm trying to work with these little ones in this church? So, because there's a generation coming up when we leave out of here that needs to know something about the Holy Ghost, needs to know something about the preaching of the Word. Why, the average youngin in America knows nothing about church, nor the Holy Ghost, nor the Word of God, nor preaching. Amen. It amazes me how people know very little about going to meeting and preaching. Well, your preacher's too loud. I like what Brother Dennis said this morning. Yours is too quiet. Your church is too noisy. No, yours is too quiet. I got more Bible to show how a noisy church than a quiet church. I got more Bible to say to be a loud preacher than a mealy-mouthed preacher. But we're afraid we're going to offend somebody. We're afraid we're going to ruffle somebody's feathers. Well, we're afraid we're going to step on somebody's toe. Honey, get them out of the aisle and you won't get them stepped on this morning. Oh, the Word of God is no respecter of person. God loves sinners this morning. But honey, it don't matter if you make $1 million or $4. We all stand even at the foot of Calvary. And I'm glad the Jones crowd don't run this church. Glory to God. A man goes to heaven and respect a person, so when he sees somebody come in and quit preaching, he becomes a politician instead of a preacher. Can somebody say amen right there? I mean, it's just amazing to me about a generation past that knows little bit about real living. Y'all just going to bear me. This thing running me crazy. This time. Of a generation past. Now they're the folks of death. The Bible said they all died. Guess what? We're going to all die. Are you ready to meet the Lord? Because we all going to die. And so there's the folks of death. But then also there's some facts of discovery. You know something? They all died. I want to say this morning. Notice if you would, in this facts of discovery, how frivolous are all former causes of misunderstanding? How frivolous all excuses for indifference? Have you ever noticed when someone died, now for the first time you discover how dear they should have been to you? I think about squabbles, and my goodness, the devil would love to get you messed up this morning and get you in a squabble. But honey, I've noticed that when you walk around and see people in a box, the little things that seem to matter when they're living don't matter when they die. Can I tell you, honey, what won't matter in 1,000 years ain't worth making a ruckus over it. If it don't matter in 1,000 years, I wouldn't lose no sleep over it. I wouldn't get out of fellowship about it. I wouldn't quit serving God on the couch. Some of you just looking for a reason to quit serving God. Well, that church ain't friendly. Well, you ain't friendly. I don't fit in. You don't fit in. Make yourself. A man that has friends must show himself friendly. Hey, brother buddy. Brother buddy, come here, brother buddy. I know that'd have a good illustration before I got done preaching this morning. I'm going to show you one of the nicest and happiest men in our church. I want you to frown. I want you to frown. He can't frown. He can't frown. He can't frown. Now smile real big, brother buddy. That's easy, ain't it? Smile real big. Let me tell you something. If everybody was like that man, you know how come he's been here 15 years? Because he wanted to be. Yeah, man. I remember we was digging the basement in this church. Brother Buddy, y'all remember fellas, he was out on the road. He just waved at traffic. And I think Brother Gerald then was a-picking on him. Said, hey, Brother Buddy, what you doing? He said, hey, fellas, I just want everybody to know we're a friendly church. It ain't nothing wrong with being friendly, is it? I mean, it ain't nothing wrong with doing what God wants you to do, is it? And so, my goodness, anything that won't matter in 1,000 years, I sure wouldn't break fellowship over it. I don't like so-and-so. They probably don't like you. I've noticed this. When I don't like things, it usually ain't people that's around me. It's me. And it tickles me, these people say, well, I don't fit in that church. Well, then that must mean that you're real worldly. That must mean that it's something wrong with you instead of us. As far as I know, we preach in the Bible, and we got an altar still open for the saints of God and sinners to get saved. You got to be a part. Well, ain't nobody asking me to get in the choir. It ain't no gates on it. It ain't our gate up here locked. Well, ain't nobody asked me to be a part of this. Well, just jump right on in, honey. The water's fine. But you know something? I wouldn't let some little something somebody said that won't matter in 1,000 years get me out of sorts with God and His church. Amen. Or my family. God makes a diverse mix of people. Boy, wouldn't we be in a bad shape if they was all made like us. Thank God for some red cars, black cars, white cars. A little variety. You need a little variety yourself, you stick in the mud. Facts of generation past, the folks of death, but the facts of discovery, how frivolous all excuses are for indifference. Boy, when y'all look in that box at your preacher, you're going to think, well, you know that he made me mad about really didn't matter. Matter of fact, you listen to me this morning. You know what the devil do? The devil say the preacher's done picked me out. Preacher ain't picked you out. That's why I don't run with you. Holy Ghost knows what you're doing. Holy Ghost give you the preacher to preach through it. And that's how come you think I've moved in at your house living on the back room. I ain't meddling. I got enough to see about down at 403. I'm just preaching. And I hate that your britches ain't thick enough to take some preaching. I'm offended. I'm so offended. I'm just marvelously offended. Facts of discovery. How frivolous are all former causes of misunderstanding. My goodness, you know something? I hope to the goodness in the morning, if you got an ought with your brother and sister, you'll figure out if it don't matter in 1,000 years, it ain't worth it. And then there's a future destiny. These all left, but they all landed someplace. Can I tell you this morning, we're all headed to one of two places, heaven or hell. There are no stopping off place till you get ready to get to heaven. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So there are the facts of a generation past. They've died and gone on, haven't they? Time's no respecter of person, is it? Boy, I wished it was. Wouldn't it be a blessing to be, have a 25-year-old body? Oh, I can tell y'all ain't hurting the way I'm hurting. I mean, wouldn't it be a blessing to be able to do things like you used to do when you was 25? Oh, I forgot. I preached to a young crowd. You don't know nothing about it yet. But you just wait, honey. Time is no respecter. So there's a generation past. There's some facts of a generation past. They've all died on and went to some place. Either to heaven or they went to hell. And so this morning I'm reminded of the facts of a generation past. Number two, I'm reminded of the fruits of a generation past. What fruits? Well, look in verse number 7. First of all, we have an abundant increase. The Bible said, and the children of Israel were fruitfully increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. My goodness, the fruits of a generation past. I wonder where we'd be if our forefathers hadn't paved the way for us. I want to say in these fruits of a generation past, there is an abundant increase. He said they were very fruitful. And then secondly, there is an abounding influence. He said the land was filled with them in verse number 7. My goodness, we live in a time where we've never had such an abundant increase. Everybody's talking about the economy, how bad it is. Let me tell you, we've got it made yet. And then an abounding influence. Have you noticed this? Anywhere you go, honey, I've been half around the world, and every place I go, I find a Christian. Christians is not just a place that God spit them out in one corner of the earth. There's Christians around the four-corner part of this world. He said this about this fruits of a generation past. He said there are an abounding influence. The land was filled with them. Boy, we've never had this many Christians in the country,
But yet we've never lived in such a time when their voice is so low.
Abundant increase. God's been good to us. Abounding influence. But thirdly, I want to make you think now, an astounding inheritance from a generation past. Look what it says now in verse 7. The Bible said, and they waxed exceeding mightily. An astounding inheritance. I read something the other night. I want to read again this morning, moving on more to the message, but you can save your place. John 4 and verse 38, he said, I sent you to reap there whereon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored and you are entered into their labors. You may think that you've made your fortune, but you've only inherited it. God has allowed you to have what you got this morning. And because of a generation past, we are gleaning, we are reaping in the fruitfulness of a generation that is past. Could you imagine what we'd have to do if we all had to leave here this morning and said every Publix, every Kroger, everything was closed and we've got to plant a garden? Does anybody know what end of the plow you're to grab? We have inherited so many blessings from a generation that is... Could you imagine, young ladies, listen, raising them young, could you imagine getting an old box of starch out? You don't even know what I'm talking about. Get you a bowl of water and mix that starch and sprinkle them old white shirts and overalls and pull you an iron out of the fire and iron your husband's overalls and white shirt before you come to Liberty. But that's just minor. Could you imagine going out on a porch to a wood pile and building up a fire and cooking breakfast for your mob in the morning? And then could you imagine this when the preacher come home with you because he didn't have nothing to eat because they starved him, slammed to death. You reached out and you got the prize rooster off the yard and you wrung his neck and he run around 10 minutes and didn't know he was dead. And then you got slapped away from the table if you reached for the chicken breast. Because that was daddy's and the preacher's. The babies eat the necks and the backs. You don't even know what the neck of a chicken is. Man, y'all look at me like, my Lord. What? Y'all don't know what it'd be to go down the branch and draw you a bucket of water. You wouldn't know what it was to heat you up a fire and get you a bucket to wash clothes and heat it up and rub it on a scrub board. I got one word to say to us this morning. Quit our whining. Are we preaching? We had too much preaching in revival. You ready to go on? I'm not going to waste this message on a bunch of deadheads this week. I'm talking about the facts of a past generation and now the fruits of a past generation. We are enjoying things that our forefathers have laid the groundwork for us that we could have a blessing. I remember my daddy giving me $1,000 when I come over Mount Eagle Mountain. I met Miss Renee, Panama City Beach, Florida. You say, well, if you're a Christian, you ought not go to the beach. I wasn't a Christian then. You can laugh a little bit. I done found out I can go to the beach and be a Christian. Amen. Got cold in here. Y'all cold. I can hardly wait to preach this at revival somewhere. Somebody likes preaching, you know. Somebody ain't done got used to the finer things of life. But you know, they've laid the groundwork that we could have a great blessing. And I'm amazed this morning at this generation that has passed and their fruitfulness. When I come across Mount Eagle Mountain, my daddy gave me enough money, probably 80% of what he had, to set up housekeeping. You know what I figured out when I come to Bowdoin, Georgia in 1979? I found out, Brother Gerald, my daddy knowed, he done forgot more than what I knowed. I now had a power bill. I now had a trailer payment.
Does any of y'all remember them black white TVs you got channel 2 and 5? And when your wife would go by to clear up, and you say, "Honey, stand there a few minutes while I get the rest of the news." Well, so, hey, y'all folks think cable TV's been here forever, but it ain't. I remember I brought a black white TV with me and it set up on legs, console style. Anybody remember them? Amen. Boy, me and my wife watched that and it was amazing. Her mom and daddy got a color TV. That was something. That was something to have a colored TV. I mean, to realize somebody was wearing something but black and white. I remember, y'all laugh at this. There's a man sold TVs down. First thing me and my wife ever bought, I went and got us a colored TV. Had to have one. I backed up to the trailer and the little Mr. Renee stepped out on the porch. And she went to squalling. The Lord is my witness. She went to squalling. That TV payment was about $43 a month, nearly as much as our house payment was. She said, "We'll never pay for it. We'll never pay for it." Boy, hadn't God been good to us? Amen. The fruits of a generation past. Could you imagine going to church in them days? Pot belly stove, people stoking the fire while the preacher was just an old fan on the side, if they had a fan, turn around. But you know, there's the happiest people in the world. So this wants to take me to my last point this morning, and this is where I want to preach from a few minutes. This generation past, there's the facts of a generation past. There are fruits of a generation past. But now watch your Bible. There is the faltering of a generation past. The Bible says this in verse 8 now. "Now there rose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph." The faltering of a generation past. I want to say, first of all, now we live in a society that has the denial of sovereign things. The denial of sovereign things. You know something? When leadership don't know the Lord, all the people suffer. That's a principle from your workplace to your secular place to your church place. When leadership knows nothing about the King of Glory, people hurt. I'm not here to bash Obama, but I say this, and he made a statement that Islam is the most beautiful, peaceful religion on earth. You can't prove it to me. I know and I realize that God allows us to be where we are this morning in America, but you can't make me think if the leader of our country was a born-again Christian, things would be different. The Bible says the denial of sovereign things. God is sovereign. To God be the glory. In Deuteronomy chapter number 28, let's go there this morning. Deuteronomy 28. This is what the Bible says. We'll pick up in verse number 1. "It shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and do all His commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, blessed shalt thou be in the field, blessed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy ground, of your cattle, the increase of your kine and flocks of your sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against you to be smitten before your face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before the seven ways." Well, preacher, what happened? There's a denial of sovereign things. You remember September 11? That was no accident. God allowed them terrorists to fly into our country because there's a payday coming. Some, listen to me, folks. You're not going to shake your fist in the face of a God that founded this country and that has blessed this country and not get Him upset. Where did Christians ever think that we couldn't say so? I'm not talking about having a militant spirit. I'm not talking about having a revolution. I'm simply talking about what happened to Christians with the voice of this country. Why does minority run majority? The faltering of a generation past. Would you have ever thought that who's leading this country would have ever led this country? Let me tell you something. I'm not a racist. I got some of the best black people in the world as my friends. Yeah, amen. But honey, let me tell you, when a man will get up and say that he says that Islam is the greatest religion in America, something's wrong. Amen. Now, you'll notice when there's a faltering of a generation past, it's a denial of sovereign things. Look in Psalms 33 and 12. Psalms 33 and 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Underline that. Teach them to your children. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance. Then look, if you would, this morning to Psalms 9 and verse number 17. Psalms 9 and verse number 17. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Friend, let me tell you something. God's not somebody you study about. He's the sovereign Lord over this universe. He's God Almighty. And so there are this morning some faltering from a generation past. Why, my goodness, any president that our forefathers would have had, I mean, friend, that you would have never hushed them up. Could you imagine the forefathers that hit Normandy? So many was killed that their floating helmets looked like turtles going ashore. Could you imagine the men that fought for this country to keep us free, keep us where we could worship God and fly our flag? Could you imagine what they would say if they come back this morning? I'm preaching about a generation past this morning. And so we see the faltering of a generation past. There's the denial of sovereign things. No, but let me tell you what would cure America. If God's people would get on their face and call out to a holy God, save our nation, Lord. Young people, you ain't got to do what the school says about no prayer. They can never take prayer away from you. You can pray in the halls. You can pray at your locker. You can pray in spelling class, arithmetic class. You can pray any place you want to pray. The faltering of a generation. The denial of sovereign things. Number two, the decline of spiritual things. The decline of spiritual things. Have you ever seen a time in your life? And I want you to notice this text now. Watch what happens. In Exodus 1 and verse number 10, He said, come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also our enemies and fight against us. Get them up out of the land. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. They built Pharaoh treasure cities. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. Verse 14, they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick, and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was rigor. Preacher, what's going on? They got them too busy to worship. And watch what happened in Exodus chapter number 5. Exodus 5. He said in verse 2, Pharaoh said,
Who is the Lord that I should obey His voice? My goodness, a decline, a spiritual thing. He said, I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. And they said, the God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey in the desert, and sacrifice the Lord our God, lest He fall on us with pestilence or with a sword. They've been taught to worship. And the king of Egypt said to them, wherefore do you, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their works get you into your burdens? Pharaoh said, behold, the people of the land now are many, and you make them rest from their burdens. Pharaoh commanded the same day the taskmasters of the people and their officers said, ye shall no more give the people straw to make brick as heretofore. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. And the tail of the bricks which they did make, ye shall lay upon them. Ye shall not diminish out thereof, for they be idle. There they cry, saying, let us go and sacrifice to our God. Let there more work be laid upon the men that they may labor, and let them not regard vain words. What's going on, preacher? Well, this faltering of a generation past, not only do we see the denial of sovereign things, but we see the decline of spiritual things. My goodness, how we have taskmasters over us, and no longer can we worship. He said, don't give them no idle time. They may want to sacrifice and call upon their God. Keep their nose to the grindstone and their hand to the plow and work them to death so they can't go to church. That's right where we are this morning. These taskmasters, listen to me, generation. If you can't afford it, don't go buy it. Boy, them cars, they smell real nice till the payment book comes in. And you know, you better be careful not to move in something that you can't afford, that God never intended you to be living in. You'll be miserable. There'll be taskmasters over you, and you can't get a loose and serve God. I wonder how many people this morning probably thought that God was a blessing and they kept buying things, and things got them. Boy, I tell you what, you can say what you want to, but you get head over heels in debt, life is no fun. Young couples, I always like to have some hamburger money. Somebody call me, we can go someplace down to Mickey D's. Somebody get that number one meal, amen? It's bad you can't buy a number one meal. But you know something, ain't it amazing, a generation past, they didn't live above their means. Well, my good, could you imagine going and getting an $800 car payment, your daddy doing that? Could you imagine? I'll let you soak on that. I may need to stop this and preach the rest of it tonight. Taskmasters over us, and we can't get free to worship our God. How many times have you seen people get blessed, they get so blessed, they buy a boat, and now they're on Lake Widow because crappy's biting? How many times have you seen somebody get so blessed, they buy a country club membership, and they can't come to the house of God, they got to go play golf on Sunday because that's the only day they can get there? The denial of sovereign things, the debt of secular things, but the decline of spiritual things. But look in verse 15, the death of sacred things. They mention killing babies. He said in verse 15 of Exodus 1, the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one is Sire, the name of the other Pew, and said, when you do the office of midwife, the Hebrew women, see him upon the stools. If it be a son, then you shall kill him. If it be a daughter, then you shall live. But the midwives feared God. The faltering of a generation past, there's the death of sacred things. Life is sacred. Amen. Did you know in 1973, when Roe versus Wade was implemented in our country, there were 744,600 babies killed that year. You know how many was killed in 2004? 1,293,000. You know, since 1973, when it became legal in our country, it's been 40-plus million babies destroyed. I wonder how many preachers was killed. See, there's two forms. There's the pro-life and there's the pro-choice. The pro-life is us. We believe in life. We believe that it becomes a living soul when life enters the womb. But the pro-choice says, well, a woman has right to do with that life anything she wants. That's not right this morning. Can I ask you today, in a generation past, if they'd killed 40 million plus babies, what would they be saying in the streets of America? Save the whales. Secure. Hey, cut all the water off because something downstream ain't going to make it in the fossil world. That's the craziest bunch of people I've ever seen all my life. I mean, we starving for water, and they're going to stop the water up because some kind of a bug ain't going to make it. People's crazy. There's the death of sacred things. You this morning got newborn babies. Stand up. I want you to hold your babies up. I'm closing. I want you to stand up and hold your babies up. You got newborn babies. Stand up. I'm glad they didn't do something against these babies. Matter of fact, I'm going to give you a couple verses because some of you are looking at me like you don't believe it. The death of sacred things. Look in Deuteronomy 27:25. Deuteronomy 27:25. And I'm winding down. I ain't going to tell you I'm going to be done. I'm telling you I'm winding down. Seem like you ain't paying attention, but when you start paying attention again, I'm going to quit. Deuteronomy 27:25. Cursed be he that taketh reward to slay an innocent person. And all the people shall say, Amen. Then I want to show you another one. Proverbs 6:16. Proverbs 6:16. These six things doth the Lord hate, and I don't want to be doing nary one of them. A proud look, lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. The death of sacred things. My goodness. There's the faltering of a generation past. We better remember where we've come from. Amen. I want to say lastly, the debate of scriptural things. Does the Bible still mean what it's always meant, preacher? Sure does. Amen. Let me share if you come for me this morning. This is the complete Word of God. There's nothing in it not true. And God said, all the nations that forget Him, it's a payday coming. In a generation past, it was a time when Sunday was time to go to the house of God. End of story. Some of you wake up in the mornings and you give your children an option, do they go to church or not? I didn't have that option, neither did I give my children that option. You say, well, preacher, that's too much church. It's going to brainwash them. Preacher, you really believe? Oh, let me tell you what. There's some faltering of a generation. If my granddaddy come and just grabbed up a newspaper, let alone, like Brother Dennis said, cut on a TV, it's unbelievable what's happening in our country. God said, be ye separate and come out from among them. He ain't talking about hating people. He's talking about separate.
Now we're trying to be led into a social government. Oh, y'all just come on over here and bring all your gods and set up. Y'all just come on, bring all your gods. Let me tell you what, in this ministry, anything but the Lord Jesus Christ will not be tolerated. End of conversation. Anything beside a King James Bible will not be tolerated. Generation past. Now I want to show you something. And I believe all my heart what Brother Dennis said this morning is true. Look in 2 Chronicles. I want to show you something. Now, and I'm going to be done. I want to show you 2 Chronicles. Friend, let me tell you something. I don't want to say it don't matter how our country's going, because it does matter a lot. But we ain't got to go that way. Just call, hey, Mom and Daddy, this was a lot of pressure when I was coming up. Well, so-and-so's doing it, why can't I do it? My young'un's boy tried to put a pity party on me more than one. Well, my buddies has got one, why ain't I got one? Because your buddies ain't got the daddy you got. Can I ask y'all something? Your bread's not done if you let little girls go camp out with little boys. Your bread ain't done. Boy, some of y'all seen some of y'all look like that. Let me tell you something. Little boys going to be little boys. I don't care if they your young'uns or my young. Some of you looking down playing in your pocketbook. Y'all be looking at the preacher. Bless God, if I was that convicted, I wouldn't have my head in a pocketbook. I'd have it in an altar. Amen. If you don't think your young'uns ain't going to do who they're running with, you're fooled. Amen. They don't need a buddy. They don't need a friend. They need a mama and a daddy. Amen. They need somebody to stand up and say, we ain't doing that. Let me tell you, there's some preachers in some Baptist churches need to get some of that gut about them.
Amen. Amen.
It's God to turn into zoos.
Yep.
I may just preach another hour. Now I feel mean. And there's somewhere the Bible says, be angry and sin not, don't it? Everybody else, I've heard this. All these other churches did preach. Why can't we do that? Why can't we do that? Because we're going to try to keep the Holy Ghost here. It ain't about this church. Ain't about you. About Aunt Sally and all her birthdays. The meanest mama. The oldest mama. But David, I better set by you. I don't like what I'm seeing out there this morning. I'm going to preach this away. They get me mean. The more I look at them, the meaner I get this morning. A generation past. I wouldn't take nothing, Miss Flo, for my raising. I tell you what, little kids down the road made fun of me because I wore the little boy's clothes down the road, but I wouldn't take nothing for the mom and dad in the old house they raised me. I was referring to what Brother Dennis said. It's in our Bible. If my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and seek my face and pray, then I'd hear them and I'd heal their land. The White House ain't what's got our country messed up.
Amen.
It's us.
Yep. Hallelujah. Right.
We do things that our forefathers would have blushed about. God help us as a nation. You know what I dread it for? Is these little fellers right here. The little Milas, the little Livias. That's who I'm a dreading. I'm fixing to get out of this stuff for long. And you are too. You have any idea what our grandchildren's going to face?
Brother Jason, you and Miss Kim raising that baby, hon, I hate to think what's ahead of her. But we can teach them what to do now.
Yes, sir.
And we can love them. And it'll make a difference. I want to ask you now on this invitation. My sister plays, I don't want no song. I just want to ask you something this morning. There's a generation past, and I hope to the Lord of glory when we leave out of here, we've made an influence on this place. I hope when these little old youngins, when we dead and gone, Brother David, Brother Tim, I hope they can say, well, you know, Brother David used to get up and lead out an old redback hymn. Brother Tim used to lead them old songs in the choir. And do y'all remember that old running red-faced loud preacher we used to have? Y'all remember how that old boy, he didn't care who was a setting there, he just preached to us and Mom and Daddy got mad at him and left the church. And I got out and I got all these scars on me because they didn't have enough glue in their britches to take preaching. Oh God, help our country. God, help me to be in a generation that'll lead others to You. You come this morning, whatever you need in your heart and your life. Mom and Daddy, you ought to fill these altars up this morning. Grandmama, Granddaddy, you ought to fill these altars up. Say, God, help my family. God, help our country. God, help our church. God, help us in everything we do.